This is Live Exceptionally. I'm Dr. Yvonne, your host, founder of Elisi, and author of Can You Sleep Like This and the Rest of God, and Reflections on Rest. Burnout. Have you ever experienced it where you have nothing left to give, nothing left to offer, and nothing left to provide to, whether to your loved ones, your job, in ministry, or even to yourself? Today, we're speaking with Apostle Regina Holiday, where she's the founder of Taking Your Life Back. And we're going to explore key principles and symptoms related to burnout, but how we can live a life where we're actually taking time out for ourselves, the ability to say no, and how to overcome these types of symptoms and feelings. Hello, Apostle Regina. I'm excited for you to be with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
What ways can we recognize the signs of burnout?
I think one of the ways that we can recognize a sign of burnout is insomnia. That's one way. You know, if you're not sleeping at night, that can definitely be a telltale sign that you may be burning the candle at both ends, so to speak. Even brain fog, that's another way. You know, you can't seem to concentrate. That's just two things that I think people can kind of horn in on to maybe dig a little bit deeper to see if that's the issue that they're having.
I recently went through a time where I just felt like it was just almost to the point. I didn't feel as if I felt stressed out. I did not feel as if I was overwhelmed, but I was just like it's just too much. Just so much stuff going on. And I took a sabbatical from everything that I was involved in. And I didn't really realize at the time that I was burnt out. It was only after I took a step back because I felt like I just needed to be more focused on a couple of things. And as the holidays were leading up, but then after I took the step back and sabbatical, I realized that I literally was burnt out. It crept up on me. It came out of nowhere. I felt like that I was still focused and doing well in each of the things, but I didn't like recognize any signs specifically other than maybe being a bit edgy, you know, a little bit edgy and quick about certain things. I would say I did have some insomnia there, but as a believer, it snuck up on me. But at the same time, I didn't really recognize any symptoms, and maybe because I didn't know what the symptoms are.
Yeah.
How can we create a balance between our faith and managing signs or recognizing that one is burnt out?
Well, I think just from a natural perspective, I think it's important to evaluate what you're doing. You know, it's 24 hours in a day. And if you're going and going and not just even always physically moving or taking care of things, but even mentally, you know, that can cause you to be burned out too. I think that the balance between the two would just give yourself a break, you know, give yourself a break, even whether you feel like you need it or not. But just come away from everything. You know, like you said, you took the sabbatical and maybe sometimes you're not able to just take a period of time or a long period of time. But I'm not an expert by any means, but I'm just speaking from my own experience. Sometimes you have to pull away from the regimen and rest your body, rest your mind and feed your spirit, you know, through the word of God, through just quieting your spirit and your mind. I think that would help to give you a better balance. But the most important thing in addition to that is evaluating what you're doing. And if you're going and going and going, sometimes you may say, let me just pull away. Let me just take 5 minutes to just pull away. Let me just meditate on the word of God. Let me just quiet myself.
Your ministry, Taking My Life Back, when I looked at the story behind that, I think it aligns very well to balance, rest, being focused on not getting to the point of burnt out. Talk a little bit about Taking My Life Back and how it ties into the balance of our personal ambitions, doing ministry without overexerting ourselves, and how to avoid overexertion and walking in that lack of balance when it comes to just doing too much. And how do we take our life back?
Well, one of the things personally for me, I started the ministry, this particular ministry, maybe 6 years ago when my husband had a massive stroke. And I found myself being at his bedside for the 40 days that he was there in the hospital. And thank God he made it out. He's doing fine now.
Amen.
But God began to speak to me after he came home. I was taking him to physical therapy. And he said, simply, you need to take your life back. So that's where it was birthed from. But I realized that for me, it started years before that. You know, I was always giving of myself, but never really knew how to pour back into myself. And when the Lord spoke that to me, I realized that it's been a lifelong journey for me to just pour out, but never really know how to receive or self-care or give back to myself. So that's where this particular ministry was birthed from. And I'm on a journey now, even still learning how to take my life back. It's been some health challenges for me that I've faced after, even along the way.
Hey, ladies, or that special lady in your life. Are you ready to relax, restore, and recharge? We've got the perfect getaway for you at the 4th Annual Release, Refresh, Renew Women's Retreat happening at the lovely Hyatt Place Suites Hotel in Schaumburg, Illinois. This isn't just any retreat. It's a transformative weekend designed to uplift and empower you. You'll enjoy inspiring speakers, soulful worship, wellness breakouts with health coaching, and even a comedy set to keep you laughing. It's the perfect chance to take a break from the hustle, to renew your mind, body, and soul, to find peace and deep connection with like-minded women. Spots are filling up, so secure your place today at elisi.org/womensretreat. That's elisi.org/womensretreat. See you there.
Hey, I had health challenges, but of course I ignored them because what my husband was going through was just had to be dealt with. It was emergent. And so I've learned just through seeking the Lord, just through doing research, just through listening to my body. And I still have so much to learn, but I've learned just to listen. Firstly, listen to my body, listen to where I am emotionally, even spiritually, and taking the time for myself and not feeling guilty about that, not feeling bad about I need to be here or I need to do that or this. And okay, let me just neglect myself on a regular basis so that I can be there for someone else or where I need to be. So I've learned through this particular arena or this particular area of my life to include myself in the equation. And it looks different for me every day. I may get up and I may decide to exercise, which I try to do most times, but not always successful in that. And what I put in my mouth is important for me. And, you know, there are so many other things, too, that, you know, I can go into. But those are just two ways that I try to balance and I try to keep myself accountable to be, you know, to be able to take my life back the way that I need to.
Yes, there's two things. I'm going to write that word accountable because I want to come back to that. But what you describe and taking my life back and that process that you walk through, that is consistent with a part of my book, Can You Sleep Like This in the Rest of God, where I walk through the principle of rest from an exegetical perspective from Genesis to Revelation, but mm-hmm. also using personal anecdotes to describe the process of how God requires us. And we, a lot of times, because it comes in the Old Testament in the law about rest, resting on the mm-hmm. Sabbath, mm-hmm. I walk away from just the specific day of rest and mm-hmm. talk about the principle of rest and applying mm-hmm. the principle of rest in our lives. And that can look like different things to different people, mm-hmm. whether it's rest physically or whether it's rest emotionally and mentally. But yeah. the term taking my life back is consistent with that in terms of having that balance and mm-hmm. the balance of what we're doing, the focus of what we're doing, how much we're doing it, and yeah. putting boundaries, putting guardrails mm-hmm. in place as it relates to whether it's ministry, family, work. One of the things that I think about is that even from as a believer, God tells us, or, you know, there's things that we do for ministry, you know, whether it's mm-hmm. preaching, teaching, volunteering, serving in the church, serving our family. And we do these things because we're called to do it. And mm-hmm. sometimes I think it can go on the verge of where we're doing it so much that we're not taking time for ourselves. Like, I can get up, I can spend time with the Lord, and then I'm doing work. Like, from sun up to sundown, I'm doing work. And if I'm hungry, I might just grab something and munch on it while I'm working. I know I'm supposed to work out, but then I'm like, if I work out, then I can't get this done. But the times when I actually say, no, hang on, let me fix myself something to eat, sit down like a person, not stand up or sitting at my desk and eating, or when I take the time to work out, that I feel better. My energy is better. My thoughts are clear. I have a better approach and a perspective and attitude towards the day. And I feel like even as I do my work, I'm able to get through it a lot better than just working like a machine from sunup to sundown.
I think it's learned behavior, you know, and we have to recognize that we owe it to ourselves to take that break or to sit down and eat and not just stand up and eat. But we get so used to not resting.
During the course of taking a step back from my podcast, from leadership positions that I had in church and other organizations, that I felt myself begin to like renew and refresh and begin to like really think about, where do I need to focus? Where do I need to put my efforts? Where, even like recalibrating myself with what God wants me to do. Because I think sometimes we can be focused on initially what God wants us to do, and we're moving full steam ahead with what he said, and then all these other responsibilities and things are added, and then we have our plate full of varied activities that potentially they don't all involve things that he said for us to do. Mm-hmm. And so I think that even in the midst of taking a step back, I was able to understand, where do I need to focus as I pivot out of the sabbatical and then getting my feet back into various activities? Where do I need to focus and where do I need to be?
I think it's important. I think it's good that you recognize, even though you didn't know what the symptoms were, it's great that you decided to take a sabbatical and pull away. I think one of the things that we need to do more of is to evaluate what we really have on our plate. Even though you may not recognize the symptoms of burnout, or you may think it's other people, I think it's important to evaluate, you know, periodically. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. I have this responsibility. I can't drop the ball on that. That's stressful in itself. You know, having all of these balls that you're juggling in the air and you're trying to maintain them, that's stress in itself. But then when you have to go into dealing with each one of these individual things, when you can take time to say, well, I have 10 things on my plate. I have 10 things that I feel like I can't pull away from. But when you get to the point of like you recognizing that I just need to take some time away, not knowing why, just you're tired, you're irritable, which are symptoms too. But getting to a point where you can pull back and you can evaluate and rethink some things, I think that's major, because a lot of people don't get that idea to say, well, let me just pull away from things. I don't necessarily know if I'm burned out or not even thinking the word burnout as an option. But, you know, when you do pull away, you recognize that that's exactly what it was. One of the things I think, too, recognizing that we deserve to rest. We deserve that. That's part of what we can give back to ourselves. And I think we get so in a mindset of giving, you know, I have to save the world. I have to do this and I have to do it. Nobody else can do it, that we lose ourselves in that, so much so that maybe our minds begin to tell us, well, you know, you'll be okay. You don't have to really take some time away, because you have to make sure you're doing what you need to do over here. So I think even, and I would even dare to say, sometimes negative self-talk will make us feel like we don't deserve to take a break, or we have to keep moving forward, which gets into another, you know, set of weeds all by itself. But, you know, recognizing that you do deserve to take a break. And even those times, like I think you mentioned, you were, you know, you're working and you're not even going to sit down to eat. You're standing up eating and you're trying to get through with everything. But just, you know, saying, no, I'm going to take this 5 minutes and I'm going to finish this sandwich, because I deserve to have time to enjoy my food, even if it's 5 minutes. So recognizing that, I think, is important too, to creating a balance in your life that says, yeah, I can go save the world, but I also have to include myself in the equation as well.
I think that the process of being obedient, doing the things that we're called to do, or things that we are passionate about, volunteering, civic work, things of those nature. When you talk about saving the world, are we doing it in our own flesh, or are we doing it unctioned by the Holy Spirit?
That's good.
And in that regard, are we balancing what we're doing with what is in alignment with what God is saying? And I think sometimes when I like that phrase, saving the world is good, but why are we saving the world? Mm-hmm. What are we doing it from? Mm-hmm. Because the whole aspect of striving, is it unhealthy striving? Like, you know, using myself again, things that I felt God said for me to do, I'm so focused and doing it. There has to be balance. Like my tagline is live exceptionally and balance freedom in rest and balance. And sometimes I feel in Christendom, particularly as leaders, ministry leaders, that there's this push for people to be obedient, serve, volunteer, you know, put your, what is the scripture verse, the day? I can't remember the scripture verse about the night, work while it's day or something like that.
Yeah, because night comes when no man can work. Yeah.
Right. Work while it's day, because, yes. And so in that regard, there's this push to get stuff done, to serve, to work. You know, people need to be saved. People need to be healed. People need to be delivered. Yeah. And if you say you need to take a break, if you say you're taking a vacation, if you say I need to stay home from today, seeing if you're made to feel as if you're like it's a sin or like you're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
But when you see consistently in scripture where literally in the second chapter of the Bible, the entire Bible, not just the Genesis, God read.
If you like what you hear, hit the like or subscribe button. Share this episode with friends and drop a rating. It only takes a second and helps us to continue quality content. Your support makes all the difference.
From the work that he did. And then in the New Testament, when things were happening, Jesus was asleep.
Uh-huh.
And so when we talk about taking our life back and recognizing burnout, that we need to find the line or understand that there is a line between unhealthy striving and actually still pursuing excellence and pursuing saving the world.
I think every good idea is not necessarily a God idea. And, you know, the Lord tells us that he desired that we be in health and prosper, even as our souls shall prosper. And I think we forget about that aspect for ourselves. He still wants us to be in health. He still wants us to prosper, you know, even as our soul prospers. And we take that away from ourselves, because sometimes our gratification, and in some instances it should, seeing other people, you know, live out their purpose and helping them to get to the place that they need to be. But the balance is so, so important, because I can help, you know, one of my mottos that I like to live by, I would much rather give you a fish. No, I would much rather teach you how to fish than give you a fish. Because if I give you a fish, you'll eat for a day. But if I teach you how to fish, you can eat for a lifetime. So it's important that even with what God has given us, as far as the things that he's called us to be obedient in, it's still important that we keep ourselves a part of that equation, you know, because he doesn't want us to die helping somebody else. And I think a lot of people have done that, whether they've died spiritually, emotionally, mentally, and some even physically, because they're pouring and pouring and pouring, and they're not posturing and putting themselves in a position to be poured into, or they're feeling guilty when they have to miss a week or they can't be there for someone that they would normally be there for. It's so important that we get that. I didn't get that. I didn't get that for a long, long time, even in you know, when God started dealing with me about it, even from a little girl, you know, okay. I wrote a book in 2011. It's called Healing for the Wounded Spirit, because God showed me that I had a wounded spirit. And I wrote in the book where I was telling my girlfriend something I was going through. And I told her, I would give my right arm if I thought it would help somebody. And she said, God don't require you to give your right arm. You don't have to do that. It was like a light bulb came on, because I spent my whole life trying to help somebody else in regard, you know, with no regard to myself. And so the light bulb came on then, but I got it to a point, but I still didn't get it. So years, many, 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 many years later, you know, I continued to do that. But many years later, God showed me that, yes, I want you to be a part of this equation. I want you to have a balanced life. I want you to have a whole prosperous life. I want you to be an example of how I want people to live their life, not just being and supporting everyone and not having self-care, not taking care of yourself. So I'm learning. It's a daily journey, as I said before. It's a daily journey for me because things pop up and I'm like, okay, well, that's not showing balance. That's not pouring back into me. You know, I can still do this, but I have to take extra time to do stuff for myself as well.
Right. When you talk about your ministry, Taking My Life Back, you talk about your personal journey, a personal journey of how you came to that epiphany of the balance that is needed. How do you go about supporting others or teaching others in your community who might be facing a burnout, who might be stressed out, overwhelmed with not falling into the same trap, but setting appropriate boundaries and guardrails?
Well, I try to be an example. You know, the things that I've learned, I try to share them through the interviews that I do with other people. There are other things that I do, like putting little snippets up on Facebook to remind people of, you know, doing small things. So, you know, hopefully, prayerfully, the light bulb will come on. I make myself available to other people because I don't just want the people that got the epiphany. I want to help those that hasn't gotten it yet. That's one of the main things. Mm-hmm. I want the people that has gotten it to come along and be an example to show others. But I also want to be that example as well. So just different things I'm doing, the interviews, doing, you know, my website. I have other things on there. I wrote a book, another book in 2018, and it's a 7-day making a choice challenge. And it's 7 things that you can do every day to make a choice to you know, be an active participant in your own life. So there are different ways in those aspects that I try to give back as well, because it's important. And a lot of people don't get it, you know, because you made a great point, and I'm kind of paraphrasing what you said, not feeling bad about not pouring into yourself. And it's a myth that we've lived by for such a long time. And I just want to kind of destroy the myth and letting people know, if you kick your feet up and, you know, you're just relaxing, it's okay to do that in a balanced way, right? But not all the time.
Right.
So,
yeah. One of the things that I find is that when you start walking in a balance or trying to have balance and trying to carve out time for self, sometimes it means saying no to people in leadership, saying no people in your family or even on your job. When you take boundaries, people send in emails, because for years I was a consultant, you know, people sent emails 9-10 o'clock at night, 5-6 o'clock in the morning, Saturday and Sunday. And there's an expectation that you needed to respond. And I did that for years. And then at a particular point in time, I started to get sick because of just the always being on, always working, always being on the go, flying from the New Jersey to California, flying to clients every week. And it's like when you're constantly on, it started having a impact on my health and my body, even mentally, just feeling drained all the time. And so when you start putting boundaries, not responding to emails after a certain time, or not responding to emails or phone calls, letting it go to voicemail on the weekend, that there can be pushback. And it's not just in the marketplace. I find sometimes even in Christendom settings, sometimes saying no, or I can't do that, or I'm taking a vacation and I won't be there. Yes. There can be this negative pushback. Have you experienced that? And what were ways that you dealt with that?
Well, absolutely, Dr. E. One of the things, you know, try being married to your husband who pastors the church with you and always having to be on and trying to even find a balance in that when, you know, it's 9 o'clock at night and he gets this great idea that he just has to talk to you about, right? So being able to say no was very, very hard for me. It's something that I had to learn. And of course, it's like a shocker for him. But, you know, he's getting over it. But, you know, not being selfish and saying no, but recognizing when I really need to push back and say, well, I can't do it right now. Maybe I can do it later. But at this moment, and even saying, you know, I can't talk about that right now. You know, I do want to talk to you about this, but right now is not a good time for me. And I've had to learn how to do that. I've had to learn how to do that. So saying no is something that I've had to learn to do. And I'm still learning, because I know if I if I give that extra, you know, you say, okay, well, I can just do this and then I'll rest. But sometimes when you do that, something else is added to it and the rest just goes out of the window. So I've had to learn how to say no to. And at first my husband didn't understand, but it's like, no, this is not good for my health. Like you said, my emotional health and my mental health, I need to pull back on this. I can't just, because, you know, getting started, we were both in, you know, just jumped in with both feet, right? And so as you get older, as things start happening and you have to adjust some things in your life, saying no, like, you know, they say no is a complete sentence. So I've had to use that complete sentence and, you know, just say no.
I do find, though, that sometimes there are seasons. There are seasons where we have to, like, put the work in, do hard work. But there are seasons where God may be calling us to take a step back, pause, reflect, focus on things of building ourselves up. And for me, I'm trying to find that balance of the time of like plowing the ground, putting the time in. It may take early, late nights. It may take working on the weekend for a season. Because whether it's starting something, launching something, building something, leading up to an event or some type of major event or assignment that God said to do, but not using that as an excuse that this is the way that it will always be, or I have to always be that way. And I think sometimes we can misinterpret those seasons of really hitting the ground and plowing the ground with that's the lifestyle that we're always supposed to live, as opposed to the consistency of taking time to rest, taking time to pause, reflect. One of the key things about the Sabbath was it wasn't just rest from physical labor. Mm-hmm. One of the key things that the Bible talks about, it was a time of remembrance. It was a time of reflection. It was a time of celebration about God, his goodness, reflecting and meditating on his faithfulness. So I think sometimes we misinterpret rest and taking a break with only focusing on not working, whereas that there is other purpose in it as well.
Yeah. You made an excellent point when you said that when you took the time off, that you had to reevaluate some things. When you came back, you realized that you had to reevaluate some things. So that's an excellent point. You're absolutely right. Taking that time to reflect, taking that time to remember or to look back at some things, or to you know, get your mindset to make some changes when you do go back, because sometimes that is necessary.
What would you say in this time of great anxiety with politically, culturally, all the things that are taking place, what would you say are some tips or suggestions that would encourage people of how to navigate these uncertain and external influence stressful times?
Well, definitely seeking the Lord. And sometimes the things of the Lord are not as tangible as we might need them to be at certain times, especially when we're dealing with anxiety, depression, and all of those things with just our lives in general. And then not to mention the things that are going on in the world. But basically, I would say definitely seeking the Lord. And even if God is not as tangible to you as you need him to be, then going to the point of even getting some counseling or some talk therapy, different things like that, that you may need to support you in what you might be dealing with. Because it can definitely be overwhelming and everybody handles things differently. Everybody's coming from a different thought process, a different past that have definitely shaped the present time and our way of thinking. And whatever you need, seek the Lord as to give you a strategy as to how to handle whatever might be causing the anxiety, whatever you might be hyper-focused on, or whatever might be overwhelming you, whether it's internal or external.
Yes, I would also add to that the fact of monitoring what we're listening to.
Absolutely.
Monitoring what we're allowing to feed our spirit.
Yes.
Because if we're constantly feeding it, like I don't have a TV, I don't have cable, and I don't really watch TV. But I do get notifications like from the Wall Street Journal, CNN, different news sources. But even sometimes the notifications that are coming into my phone, I have to ignore them because it's just doom, gloom, negativity.
Yes.
Somebody did this, somebody did that. And when you're constantly feeding your spirit, your emotions with that, negative, 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 it's inevitable that our response will be bleak. Our response, our outlook will be bleak. Our response will be, oh my goodness, you know, constantly panicking and reacting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so we have to, when you say seek the Lord, seeking the Lord involves making sure we're feeding our spirit with things that are positive, the word, even listening to whole music that's soothing, calming, what we're listening to. Do you have a final word that you'd like to offer before we close? Or you can say a prayer as well, if you like.
Well, I'll start just by saying it's important, even as you have said, to really put yourself in a position to do the work that you know that you can do to make a difference in your own life. It's important. It's very, very important, especially in these times, you know, as you said, the way that the world is, and that's not to be taken lightly, and to limit, even as you said, to limit what you are allowing in your eye gates, your ear gates, because that definitely does affect us. So I would just encourage everyone to just put themselves in the equation. Don't leave yourself out of the equation. Recognize and realize that if Jesus died so that we can live and have eternity with the Lord, our lives here matters to God. And we can't allow other things to cause us to push ourselves to the back burner. But we're part of the equation. And we have to learn how to live like we are definitely part of the equation. So I'll just have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you and we bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, for this podcast. Thank you for this great woman of God who you've given the vision, God, to share about exceptional living, God, and living exceptionally. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for all those that are watching. We pray, Lord God, that you are helping as you continue to move by your power upon your people everywhere. We pray, Lord God, that you would continue to help us, God, not just give us a strategy to live our best lives and to live exceptionally, God, but you will give us the ability to walk out the strategy. You will give us the ability to know when to rest and when to work. You will give us the ability and the mind and the heart, God, to stay close to you, God, but also to be mindful of what we're allowing into our ear gates and into our hearts. You said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So we thank you, Lord God, that the things that we're thinking, we thank you, Lord God, that you're helping us to be mindful of your plan and your purpose for our life. We thank you for rest and peace, God. We thank you, Lord God, for the joy of the Lord where the enemy has tried to come to steal joy. We thank you, Lord God, for the peace of God where the enemy has tried to come. And even some of us have given over our peace and our joy. We thank you, Lord God, that you're giving us a mind and a heart to work alongside of you to take it back, that we will prosper and be in health, and even as our souls prosper as your desire is for us. We thank you and we bless you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Apostle Regina. This has been a blessing.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.